Now, the title of this book will grab you. It is Faith, Purpose, and Politics, Running the Race of My Life. Immediately, I was captivated. Tell me about how you chose your title.
Oh, you know, I don't think I chose this title. It just came to me, and because I know I was in the race of my life.
Up a bit. My name is Tamara Johnson Shealy. I see some others are starting to pop into the space. Tamara Johnson Shealy, I was a candidate right here in the great state of Georgia to the United States Senate in 2022. But actually, that wasn't my first run, wasn't my second run, not my third run, not my fourth run. It was actually my fifth run for office. I ran for the Georgia State Senate in 2014, 16, and 18. Came back and got into the U.S. Senate race, where we had a special election here in Georgia, a race that Raphael Warnock and Kelly Loeffler became the two front runners. But in that special election here in Georgia, there were 21 candidates. Now, that tells you it was a free for all and everybody was jumping into that race. I jumped in along with a lot of independents, Republicans, Democrats. We were all in this race to the United States Senate, where Kelly Loeffler and Raphael Warnock became the front runners. There were three others behind them that had a lot of power, a lot of influence, that were number three, four, and five. But yours truly, I came in sixth place, right under the top five, and I was the first place. I call myself, and they've coined me, first place grassroots candidate in that race to the United States Senate. It was a special election where Kelly Loeffler actually served for two years. And then in 2022, that seat was up for re-election. I jumped into that race. I primaried the Reverend Senator Raphael Warnock and spoke very boldly. Now, this is a man that stands in the pulpit of Dr. King and did not specifically address Black people. And I had a huge issue with that. How can you stand in the shoes of or the pulpit of a giant, a civil rights icon, and not have an agenda for Black America? So I challenged him. But of course, when you challenge the establishment, that comes with all kinds of challenges itself. But I was there for the fight. So in 2022 here in Georgia, this is where I saw the elections. And I'm trying to be kind. I saw where the numbers just didn't add up. And my numbers, and not just my numbers, but Democrats and Republicans here in Georgia in 2022, we saw things that the numbers did not add up. For an example, from the top of the ticket to the bottom, up and down the ballot during that primary election season, not one Democrat or Republican incumbent lost their seat. Now, if you know politics, that is mathematically improbable that no incumbent loses a seat in the entire state in a primary. Y'all, make that make sense, right? So many of us, Democrats and Republicans, we came together, and this is where reaching across the aisle, this is where we started. We had an initiative called Recount Georgia 2022, because we knew, and it didn't have anything to do with party politics, we knew that these numbers were not correct. So we came together, and we all asked for a recount, and all of us were denied, of course. And we filed a lawsuit. Of course, it was dismissed. But that doesn't mean you don't fight. It doesn't mean you don't fight and you don't raise awareness. We knew. So back in 2018, when Stacey Abrams was running here in Georgia and she said she didn't lose, now it makes sense. It made sense in 2022 to me. I'm like, wait a minute. And I saw all of that. I was actually running during that time. And that's when our governor remained in office as Secretary of State, running for governor. But nevertheless, she said she didn't lose. And we were all looking like, well, what happened? And when was it 2020 when Donald Trump called here and asked for those votes? He must have known something that we were still trying to figure out here in this state. So Reaching Across the Aisle is an initiative where we are encouraging Republicans and Democrats to come together and let's have some real hard conversations. Because ultimately, if we don't get the right people in office and we don't fix this election system here in Georgia and across this nation, we're not going to make it. And we're watching this country, the bottom fall out right now. We're literally watching America take a dive. And all of us are feeling this. I mean, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the gas pump, anybody that's renting, you are feeling this. I'm feeling it. And we have to have the right people elected. So Reaching Across the Aisle was just that. It was an initiative where we were literally reaching across the aisle. So in this room, I'm always welcoming to wherever you stand politically, it doesn't matter. Let's have these hard conversations. So I'm inviting anybody. I see you. The room is starting to get a few folks in here. Come on up. Come on up to the stage and let's have these hard conversations. So tonight, I wanted to bring something to the table because I was on Spaces earlier and there was a room about the initiative to turn these cities red. And there was some pushback in that room around why that's not a good strategy. Why that's not a good strategy to turn a city or a state, you know, just turn it red. And then those of us who are Black, that's where that conversation was rooted in how Black people are now jumping ship and we're going to turn it red. I see someone wants to come on up. Please do. Leroy, you are welcome. Thank you for joining me on the stage. So what are your thoughts, Leroy, on turning? I think you're there. Can you hear me, Leroy? Is it? Because I'm from the South. And I might say Leroy, but is it Leroy?
Hi, this is just my stage name. Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome to the space.
Hi. I feel like I'm kind of conflicted in a way. Like, I totally, like, the migrant crisis, that's a really huge deal for, like, Black communities because migrants, and, you know, even if they aren't illegal, whether they be legal, like, legal immigrants, they do come into our neighborhoods. You know, they lock us out of, you know, of their businesses and, you know, they basically fall into white supremacy. So it's like, I totally get that. But, you know, I was going to ask Afro Elite, you know, like what wouldn't be the benefit of turning America or Black America red? So it's like, I'm leaning more towards turning red because it's like, if we can get that issue out of the way, we can focus on other things. So like, what's your take on the matter?
Well, I heard him. I was in that space. Were you in that space today when they were talking about that?
Yeah, but I wasn't I wasn't really paying attention to like what they were saying, but I know that Afro Elite doesn't agree with turning the states red, but I know Mark Carter does. And it's like, I see both viewpoints, but I lean more towards of turning the states red because of how bad immigration has or is being weaponized against Black Americans. So it's like, they just argue. So I really didn't really get to hear like each side. So
did they argue? Because when I didn't stay in the room very long, but I know he was asking Mark Carter, who is, for those of you who don't know, Mark is an activist out of the Chicago area, but he was asking Mark to come up and discuss this with him. But here's my take. And to answer your question, you know, I've been in these political, I call them political streets now since 2014, my very first run.
So I'm like a decade in. And politics to me is like, it's just a strange beast. Make strange bedfellows. Like, it is a strange beast. And you, first of all, you can't go or be politically engaged and think there's a one size fit all, because there isn't. And if you look at, you know, there's different, you know, you have your state level politics. Of course, we have the federal, but then you have your local politics. You know, there's so much on every level. And I think there is no, again, no one size fit all. And I think every strategy works somewhere. So I don't think that we could put this blanket thing and say we can't do this, or we, you know, we can't do this, or we can't do that. Because I think if it requires, if you're like somewhere like here, for example, rural Georgia, it is blood red, bleeding red. Like rural Georgia, there's parts of rural Georgia, it is red. So if it takes, and I, you know, that's not how I roll, but if it takes for some people to maybe, I guess, go in and take on a banner, whether it be a D or a R, if it takes that, you know, I've seen it work. So for example, again, rural Georgia. I remember, let me give another example. It's this immigrant community in DeKalb County. And I was at a forum in this community, and there was a white Republican. And this was a immigrant community, and it was a candidate forum. And of course, everybody over there was probably a Democrat. And this white Republican, this man made so much sense with every answer that he was, every question he was asked. I remember this man making so much sense that afterwards I went up to him and I told him, because I knew that they were giving him a hard time because he was a Republican in this Democratic district. And this was an immigrant community. And I went up to him afterwards and I said, I will vote for you. Because everything he said just made sense. So I just think, Leroy, to answer your question, you know, and I get it, it's kind of confusing, but I don't think that we could ever say what can't work. I think every strategy can work. Am I answering the question for you in such a way that it makes sense? Because I feel like I'm not answering, but I'm trying.
I feel like I get what you're trying to say. Like, we can't just basically focus on one solution. Like, there's other things that we can do to actively stop certain things in our communities without going completely the other way. I think that's what you're saying.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. It just, again, like rural Georgia here, for example, rural Georgia, it's such a, and I say it respectfully because, you know, being a redneck in rural Georgia is not a bad thing. Like, it's because a lot of, you know, the redneck culture is different. It's different. So some of these areas where, you know, I see somebody else want to come on. Come on up, Waukesha. I'm trying to do my best to explain this, but I just know, you know, sometimes you gotta, some people play the game. And I think maybe what is happening in Chicago, it's not that they're like Republicans, they're gonna now be these bona fide Republicans. I think they are playing a game that they can, with that, where they can win, right? Like, they already see that Democratic Party is not helping, they're compromised. Like you say, those immigrants are really wreaking havoc. So they're playing a game. Like, how do we beat this system? So go ahead, Waukesha, and then we'll hand it back to Leroy.
I was just gonna say this real quick, what I heard from my old school. Once I ran, because I ran the same year as you, Tamara, there are no permanent enemies and no permanent friends. the stuff, and I heard about the disagreement and argument, and I went into the spaces. I think it was late, but I try not to pay attention to a lot of that stuff, the arguments and stuff, because we got bigger fishes to fry. The stuff that they got planned for Georgia coming up, I don't even think we ready. And a lot of time we are arguing and going back and forth, and these people are cutting deals as needed. If they need to go and walk the line and talk to a Democrat or switch party or talk to a Republican, they will do it to get their legislation passed. I ain't gonna say I'm waiting no more, but I'm looking to see when will Democrats, I'm talking about in our state, when will they get some meaningful legislation push, some first read, some we passed the committee part. We know what we know and we know what we need. You know, when are we going to get that done? When are they going to walk across the aisle, talk to their counterparts, and see how they can get some type of support to push some bills that we care about, Allen?
That part. Go ahead, Leroy, and then we'll pass it to Unk has made it to the space. Go ahead.
Dang, I know what I was about to say. Yeah, like, I don't, you know, listening to Mark Carter, you know, I don't even 100% agree, like you said, going 100% red, but we have to gain and, you know, we have to gain and take some gains from voting for certain people. So it's like, if we can weaponize our vote for, you know, stopping mass immigration and mass illegal immigration to our communities, I'm with that. So, like, I definitely agree that we should definitely be playing this game, you know, the way it's supposed to be played. So it's like, I 100% agree. I 100% agree with weaponizing our vote for mass and illegal immigration, because it's affecting our communities the most. So, like, I personally don't understand, like, how people can listen to Black people in those cities, those sanctuary cities, and, you know, misunderstood by saying that, oh, well, they just want to vote Republican now. I mean, it's very clear why we want to vote Republican, just to get those immigrants out of our cities. So it's like, yeah, like, I totally agree with that. Thank you.
Welcome to the space, Unk. The mic is yours.
All right, Jamar. Thank you. How y'all? Is all ladies in here? No. Okay. How's family doing? I look at, like, look, right? I never used to play this political shit, right? But I look at it from business with me when it comes to this, right? I got two bitches, right? I got one called Democrat, I got one called Republican. But the Democrat bitch, she's taking me for granted. She's just doing all the shit because she think I won't go no motherfucking where, right? So why would I allow this other Republican bitch to sit over here and not put her in the game to make the Democrat bitch jealous? Because they all jealous. They all fighting for us. They want, who wants us, right? So at the end of the day, I put them both in, right? And I play them both. But I ain't loyal to none of the motherfuckers at all. I'm just fucking playing the game how the game is fucking played. And I'm doing business with any party that's going to support my agenda for what my people want, right? So I'm putting both of them hoes in the game. And I'm going to put them against each other. And I think, to me, I had conversation with, I think, Tamara about this. I just think that when you show a motherfucker, right? No, I'm not going to vote. I'm going to take my motherfucking ass over to this other bitch over here for you. And I'm going to start messing with her. And I'm going to start dating her. I'm going to do that. And the other one, you leave, is going to be jealous, right? Because that's what they always say. Black people didn't vote because they jealous. They want to try to keep you in that shit. So you got to play the game how the game is played. Why would I not allow the red to come in the game of playing? They all do it. White people have no loyalty to either side. They go to whatever side is going to support whatever the fuck they want at the end of the day. So I understand how the game is played. Ain't nobody going fucking red, but those are the two parties that you got to deal with. But the blue bitch, she mad as fuck. Because you talking about going to see this other bitch over here in the red, talking about the red look good and we gonna go red. And when we do shit like I got Atlanta going red, that shit just pisses them the fuck off. They actually won't even let me change this shit because they got me and some shit said they looking or searching what I got in my motherfucking picture. Like, all I put up, I've never ever experienced this shit in my fucking life where I put this shit up there and they immediately say, no, you can't change your shit. We're investigating this shit to see what the shit is going on. You know what the fuck is going on? I'm going to the other bitch and you jealous as fuck. That's what's going on. And so at the end of the day, that's how I think we got to look at it. Don't worry about nobody saying you red. That's that jealous bitch saying that. I guarantee you ain't nobody red saying that shit. Why? Because we ain't even brought the red girl into the game. But now the red girl is in. And that's how I'm playing this shit, right? At the end of the day, whoever's going to do for whatever my people want, because the Democrats have had the opportunity. They don't hear us talk about reparations. Reparations is the talk of the black community right now. Not one leader, the president, the vice president, nobody in Congress, nobody has said anything about us. So that bitch is taking us for fucking granted. It's like me dating a girl and cheating the fuck out of her. And I'm out here, you and she just stay. Just lower to the fuck up. And don't want to go nowhere. You think I'm going to stop? No, because I know I could do what the fuck I want to do. And she ain't going nowhere. So we got to say, but as soon as the girl finds another dude that she likes, that nigga about to lose his motherfucking mind because now the jealousy has kicked in and there's another person that's in the game of play. So this is how we got to look at this political shit, man, and play that shit just like y'all used to do when y'all was doing. We know how to play the game, this shit, right? We know it. And that's why I tell motherfuckers, for me, when I say game recognized game, that means a nigga is all the way to fuck woke. And I ain't playing game. What you show me is what I believe. I ain't trying to add it to it, but I do recognize how this shit has to be played. And I do recognize who the players are. And so, and a lot of that credited to the people, to all these people that I be with on this app. Man, y'all have, my IQ has gone through the fucking roof on dealing with this shit, right? And how to articulate this shit to motherfuckers and get them to see shit. And if they don't see it, oh, well, fuck you. I don't have time on my clock to be worrying about whether you get it or not and how fast or how slow you get it. I don't have that time. So yeah, this is how we playing it, man. It's a pimp game, right? We pimping both sides. Put that red bitch in the game. Watch that blue bitch get mad. That's how you play this shit. And I land with that. Thanks to Mary.
You see all these emojis. Oh my God.
That shit is real, man. Real, yo. A real OG style, like how you play this shit, for real, how you play it.
Oh my goodness, all these emojis. We was going, all of us was laughing. Look, I didn't know you was a pimp. I didn't know it. I just didn't know you was a pimp.
I am not a pimp. I have pimp tendencies, right? I understand pimpology, right? I understand how shit go. And when need to be applied, I ain't saying I was a pimp, but I could go move in that arena if I wanted to, you know? So I look at these two red and blue bitches like, okay, this is how y'all want to be. Watch me make this blue bitch mad. She going to be so fucking bad, and they mad now. How the fuck y'all going to be talking about red? Nigga, how the fuck you going to be talking about blue? Well, how does this game go, right? What are you saying when you say this shit? You ain't got but two sides to choose, motherfucker, and one is red and one is blue. And if you on the blue side, do you. But don't fuck with me if I go with the red girl. Because I believe it's more opportunities in the red aisle anyway. Because you, all the motherfuckers that sold us out on the blue side have filled all the shit that we could get in to make any change. And if you get in the blue, you got so many motherfuckers you got to fight against. Why won't I go to the virgin red side, which is my fucking original party since we claiming shit, right? That's my shit any motherfucking way. We put the red team together because the blue team was fucking with the niggas. And the niggas said, let's form the party called Red. And then we abandoned it like we did the motherfucking community. And when you abandon something, something else is going to replace it called dysfunction, right? So all the functioning niggas got out, right? So at the end of the day, we abandoned the red team. We let motherfucking white people come in and take our shit. That was our shit. So fuck you. I'm going back. Anything that was for us, I'm going back to that shit. Why would I be in the fucking enemy's play? Did we in the fucking den? You talking about the fucking Lions den? You in the blue party and you black, you in the fucking Lions den. These motherfuckers ain't like us. ever. They forced us to do the fucking Republican Party, and we did that shit because we had to fight them. And goddamn it, now they don't figure out how to trick the niggas to come in the den, and we don't even know how to get out. It's like, where's the door? Oh, don't know where the door is. Like, we can't get out. This is that real. What was that movie? What was that movie with the little glass shit? The little. That's what we at. That's what the Democratic Party is. It's the sinking, sunken place. And niggas don't even know how to get out. You know? So, yeah, man. This shit is a fucking joke to me, bro. Shit is wild as fuck to me, man.
We had our entertainment for the night, brother. You
man, look, I'm just the truth teller. That's all I'm doing. I'm just telling the fucking truth. And it's fucked up because it's funny, but it fucking ain't funny, right? But you have to laugh at it because you'll be looking like, God damn, this shit's fucked up. These niggas got us in the line, dude. Not me, not us. We got out of that motherfucker. You know, but there's a lot of them still trapped in that shit. Why would you be in the party or the party that was KKK who had your motherfucking ass in a headlock, was hanging and fucking up your people? So much so, you had to go form a party called the Republican Party and all that, the Party of Lincoln and all that shit. And then you just leave it alone and then the white folks say, well, they don't want it. Let's go get the shit. Somebody got to be over there. You know, so, yeah, man. A lot of hindsight shit, right? We get to see the future of a lot of fucked up shit people did in the past or what they thought would be good. We get to see what worked and what didn't work. And we got to take those pieces and build on top of that shit. But we all need to be going red. Fuck that blue bitch. That bitch don't give a shit. I feel the way about the Democratic Party the same way I felt about goddamn Africa. When I found out about that shit, that motherfucking motherland, that bitch wasn't shit. And none of the people over there was shit. So at the end of the day, when I see it and I know it to be true, nobody can convince me. I ain't seeing what the fuck I'm seeing and I ain't hearing what the fuck I'm hearing. I'm a whole motherfucking grown old man, right? So I've been through this motherfucker 60 years. So I've seen a lot of shit go on, right? So I don't have I don't quote numbers and shit like a lot of y'all do. Like, Coach is excellent at that shit. But I quote life. You know what I mean? My shit is real fucking lived experience. When I'm talking about, have you walked in our shoes? I'm talking about, yeah, you got to be in these boots to even know what the fuck we talking about. The same reason why I told you about the task force. It don't even make no sense. We put together the dream team, but the motherfucking enemy says, no, but I want to insert two players into your team. But they ain't really for you, but I want them on your team any motherfucking way. It's like, what? No, we put together our own team, present our own work to the person where we got to present it to. You come back and but this is what you're going to get is what the fuck. We ain't got to call in on the motherfucking phone lines and shit. We know what the fuck it is. Why we ain't the task force? You ain't a descendant of chattel slave. You ain't walked in our motherfucking boots. Fuck you. You don't need to be on our goddamn task force. How the fuck you gonna be fighting for us and you don't even know what the fuck we fighting for or what happened? That's why we fucked up mad at motherfucking Barack Obama, you motherfucking Kenyan. You ain't goddamn us. But you sold us on that shit when we was locked into that flat blackness shit. Yeah, we all black. Yeah, black president. I thought I wouldn't live to see this shit. And then find out this motherfucker ain't even. No, what he didn't fight? You can't fight for us if you ain't been through this shit. You got to know this shit. If you don't know it, then man, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, why are we wasting motherfucking time when we know time ain't on our motherfucking side? Playing these games with this shit, right? No. So yeah, I'ma stop, man. I'm done.
Protocol, I see you down there. I think Unc, I think y'all brothers. I think y'all are brothers from different mothers.
I think I'm my granddad. Like, you know, our motherfuckers get older, they just get edgy because they know time. You see it so different, right? You just see this shit so fucking different. And so, yeah, that's kind of the edge on me. Like, man. God damn.
Protocol, damn. Welcome to the stage. I want you and Unc to meet. Unc, meet Protocol. Like, I'm about to make this formal introduction. If y'all not following each other, Please do. I'm telling you, y'all are brothers from different mothers.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Am I good?
Yeah.
Peace, God. Look, I'm back here rolling because I'm listening to them, and it's crazy because, like, I was raised by the OGs, right? So, like, the people who I was around, I hung around a few people who my age, and I'm 35. But everybody else was like, because I was working with my dad. My dad had a demo company. So I'm with 50-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, and they talking just like, So I talk the same way. And people be like, oh, man, you mean you shouldn't say that? Nigga, fuck that. Nigga, I'm fed up. Like, I don't know a fed up person that's going to be nice. Like, that ain't even happening, man. Like, nah. So I'm appreciating the words. Unk speaking that real. That's just real. I love it. Like, man, keep going because we need more like us. That's all I got to say about that, man. We need more like us willing to speak that truth and let the people know, man, we fed up and we just going to say it like a T.I. is, man.
Man, I want to share something with y'all too, right? I don't really share a lot about my personal shit, right? But, like, I've entered into the arena of what they call Social Security, right? So y'all kind of know my age and shit. So I'm proud of it. I live to see it, right? So, but man, when I tell you, if you can get your money out that Social Security shit, right, you go get your money. Take the fucking lick, get the money, because you don't even know if you're going to even live to get that shit, first of all, right? So what you can get, you get it, because at the end, that shit is a trick bag, right? You ain't going to get. That's why so many, I used to wonder why old people would get to that age and they be wanting to get divorced and shit. They don't divorce each other. They just take the paperwork out the game. They still live together, but they take the paperwork because the paperwork with the marriage certificate puts you in a headlock at the end game if y'all still together, because nobody gets to get their full lick because they don't look at you as individuals. So that shit is a trick, bro. They want to even tax the shit, my guy. Like, this shit is, like, this game that they're playing is so, I got so mad because I didn't, so many other people before me got that shit, right? It ain't even enough to really even for you to live. You would think that since these motherfuckers is using it to make interest off of it, that you would get to participate in on the business deal. But no, they take your money, they use it, and they make interest, crazy millions, billions of dollars off your money. And at the end, they don't even want to give you your whole shit. Like, and nobody should, old people shouldn't still be working in fucking Walmarts and shit, right? They have to, because this government fucks them over. And at the end of the day, then these same people who can't get shit from the system see the system giving shit to illegal immigrants, ain't got nothing in the system, and you don't been working since you was a little kid and don't put all this money into the system, and you can't even live off the shit, and motherfuckers is getting free shit, and they doing it in your fucking face. I say that blue bitch, fuck her. At the end of the day, she don't give a shit, and she's showing them, and unfortunately for us, right, we don't get it till that shit hit the fan. But unfortunately for the ones when the shit hit the fan this time, they not going to be prepared like we are prepared, right? Because we already trying to wake them up and tell them, but they ain't want to hear. Some of our people, unfortunately, going to motherfucking die and catch hell because they don't want to listen and prepare themselves for a country. In your face, they doing this shit. In your face, they let a motherfucker like Ohan, whatever the bitch name is, come in here and take the oath and then tell you, but I ain't got no allegiance to your motherfucking country. But nobody checking them from the red side or the blue side. I see this shit. I believe what the fuck I see. I believe what I heard you say. So I also see what the system is doing. Why they tell us we got to motherfucking follow the rules and the laws. They tell the motherfucking legal immigrants, you ain't got to follow the rules. You come in here unvaccinated, undocumented, uneducated, homeless, and we got you. And then meanwhile, telling people who don't spend all their life, we don't got you. Ain't nothing for you. Man, this shit is twisted, but we better look at this shit for what it is. This shit is real. And it's going to get real. really motherfucking ugly. I'm telling you, if Trump. Win this round, it ain't gonna be no okay. Well, we'll get him back when the next time around. These motherfuckers are gonna lose their mind in this country. That shit is this shit is finna get really mother. We thinking 2024 is the year of 2024 gonna be one of them years, man. I swear to God, it's gonna be it's gonna go down to infancy or whatever they say. That shit gonna be crazy, yeah. Cause they ain't going for it this time. They ain't gonna go for well. He lost by the counts. No. That shit ain't gonna work this time. Mm-mm. Not in 2024. So, yeah, man. This shit is real, man. All this shit is rigged against you. None of it is a win. So if you got Social Security and you've been putting a lot of money in, see how much you go to the retirement. And you can even pull some of that shit out while you living now. They don't tell you that shit, but you can. Go get your shit, man. You don't know. If you got some stacks, they tell you got a lot of money, then get your shit. Take that lick. Put that money somewhere. Don't even put it in a bank. Start your life insurance with dividends. I'm done.
True big fact.
Grab that mic protocol, bro. Grab that mic.
True big facts. Like what Unc's saying is real. And I know a lot of people like to think, you know, we just going off on some tangent of conspiracy theorists or Chicken Little to Earth, the sky's falling, but it's not, man. It's real. It's, you know, we've been hit some real tough times, and 2020 was kind of like the precursor. It was really just a test, but man, like you got people really out here not affording to be able to live in a house. You know, you got parents of 4 and 5 kids sleeping in a hotel. You know, like it's so bad here in Savannah. Like we have bus stops for our elementary and middle schools at these hotels, bro. It's that many families living in hotels. So it's going to get harder, man. People are making decisions of whether I'm going to pay my car insurance, I'm going to pay rent, or I'm going to pay my car insurance, I'm going to get food. Car insurance is going up. You know, it seems like every chance to get, people are saying that their car insurance are going up, you know, unwitting to them. So, you know, it's going to continuously get harder, man. We're going to have to get smart about it. We're going to have to get more communal. A lot of us was waving the flags in 2020, like, yo, this is just a tip of the iceberg. But we need to find ways to feed ourselves. We need to get community gardens going. We need somebody in the neighborhood that's got some chickens, or a couple of people got chickens and they dropping eggs. Like, we in egg dropping season now. And these chickens is going crazy as we get further in spring, and they're going to continue to drop. And they're pretty much cheap to go get some eggs from your local feed and seed, or going to somewhere that has a little chicken auction or livestock auction, just getting you some chicken and having them there, man. That cuts off on a lot of things that you will have to actually purchase in the store. Starting your small garden on tomatoes. We're getting in the spring once again, you know, late winter, early spring, to where it's going to warm up. You can start putting things in the ground. You can start putting things, you know what I'm saying, in soil in your house right now, and getting it ready to transfer to outside. Like, those things that we can do to actually honestly prepare ourselves for this hard time, because the shit's going to get tough. All this, you know, defund the police. Like, who, when people start hurting and they just is choosing between feeding their families and having something and not having anything they know you got, they're going to come take from you. And we already have a problem with the police, quote unquote, responding now. Now, I'm going to be real. You're your first responder. When things happen, you need to be prepared. So stop the whole, you know what I'm saying, oh, we need to get rid of guns, and we need to stop, you know, being able to protect ourselves, and we need to become a duty of retreat state. Like, nah, man, you need to be able to protect you and yours. You need to be getting prepared, getting your mind right now, because shit is going to get harder. I'm not saying this to scare anybody. You know, I mean, well, let me say not frighten anyone. I hope this scares you into shape, into going and get what you need for you and your family, having a bug out bag together, knowing how to, you know what I'm saying, clean wounds. I mean, you can study all this stuff on YouTube. You can do it yourself, but like, have the knowledge. At worst, you don't need it, but it's something you'll know later on. Like, we are, you know, we talk about knowledge and how it's the one thing that people can't take from you. Come on, man, just put it up in there. And prepare yourselves, because it's going to get crazy. They're going to do whatever they have to do, because they see, especially amongst us, they see that Trump is regaining the ground that he had before 2015, as far as the Black community is concerned, right? They're really remembering, oh, wait, why do I hate Trump? That was my nigga 5, 6, 7 years ago. I wanted to stay in the Trump hotel. I wanted that Trump money. He was a figure that I looked up to, and there's a few people, but I ain't never look up to Trump. Well, okay, listen, good for you. Kudos. But there's a lot of people who wanted that power and that money and that respect. That's now remembering that, hey, it was the Mockingbird media that told me to hate him. So I just hated him because the media told me to hate him. And as he gains more steam, as he starts doing more, and trust me, y'all about to see that goddamn orange man in the hood like he was back in 2001, 2002. He's literally about to do that, to put his thumb in the eye of those Democrats. And when that start happening, they're going to do whatever the fuck they have to do to keep that man from getting into office. And that's why I believe they are pushing whatever they're pushing over in the Middle East. That's just my Kofi on type theory. But, you know, do your research, man. Get on your grind. Get active locally. Even though we're talking about the presidential and stuff, that local politician, that alderman, that councilman, the decisions that's being made, if you happen to be in a city manager form of government, the ones who are putting the city manager and pushing the agenda for him to push, that is what you need to be paying attention to. If you got children in the school system, you need to be watching what they're doing as far as the classes they're teaching your kids or won't teach your kids, the conversations that are going on, and even the way that they are teaching your kids. You need to pay attention to that, because they're getting away with a lot of stuff while we as parents are out here working, trying to be able to provide for clothes and food and shelter for our children. So, man, just get in on that local level, man, and we can rap about that. I think that's more important than anything. If we get control of our local areas, we can really dictate a lot of stuff that the president and them got going on, but we got to get a hand on local. I'm going to land my plane because I know you normally wrap up at 8, so I'm going to let some more folk get up in here.
Thank you for that protocol. Leroy, go ahead and jump in. I see your hand.
I just want to make it clear that a lot of people, or honestly, it doesn't matter like what people think, but a lot of people see Black Americans voting for Trump or voting red as just kind of looking at Trump or white Republicans as leaders, when in reality, we're literally just using the, because we know that Republicans, I mean, in general, hate immigration. So it's like we're really just using this as a weapon and a tool to for the betterment of our community. So I just hate the whole narrative that we're being led by people. I mean, we're really not. Like I said, we're just using this as a weapon to get these immigrants out of our community. So it's like I just wanted to clear that up.
But Leroy, we've been led by either party, right? So
Exactly.
According to them, somebody gonna look. Everybody's recruiting, goddammit. Even we're recruiting our own people. And so Democrats recruiting, Republicans recruiting. They getting whether they want it or not. We just coming to get it. For me, I'm just coming to get my shit. I you can't kick me out of nothing that I own. So I'm back home. Hello.
And it's crazy because like they don't have these same criticisms of the Democrats, but they want us to remain loyal to them just without question. And that's crazy to me. Mostly it's been pushed back from other Black people, so I just don't understand that.
And that's by design, Leroy, because what I think when you say there, how we're being led, because, you know, inside of the Black community, there's a lot of people that just cannot stand Donald Trump. Like, I'm like, well, OK, what is his policies? What is it about? I just don't like him. And that's the only thing. It's just they just don't like him. And so it's, I think when you say how they quote unquote, we're being led, I think it's that's some language that they're using to keep us divided inside the Black community. Those of us that are like looking beyond the fact that, okay, he may not, you know, he may be, when he gets up to speak, it's not going to come out right. Okay. It's not going to come out right. But what is he saying beyond that? Some of us can look beyond that and hear what he's trying to say. Go ahead, Leroy. I see your hand.
And if you think about it, the language is offensive because they're basically implying that we can't have our own, you know, thoughts, about problems that are affecting us. Like, we have to just remain loyal to Democrats without questions asked. And it's just really, like I said, it's offensive because they're just making it seem like, you know, we're basically like, we basically don't get to have opinions like on our own issues. So it's just crazy. Like, when people look at it that way, it's just like, dang, like, you just automatically assume that, you know, the white Republicans are putting a ear in our, putting a message in our ear, but it's like, no, like, this is the side that's going to benefit us the most. So it's like, I just don't like how they try to make it seem like we don't have minds of our own. It's offensive.
It is very offensive. And like you say, we can't think for ourselves, and very offensive. Somebody's got to be thinking for us. How about I have a mind of my own? Right? Mm-mm-mm. Well, we're not going to the polls in 2024 and voting blue no matter who. It's just not happening. It's not. We're just not. We're not. We're not. And Ankh has a logo over there. What does it say? Atlanta going red.
Mm-hmm.
So protocol, you see what's happening?
Yeah, I see what's happening. You know, I ain't gonna lie. I'm appreciative of it. I just want us, you know, as we go red, like, you know, be smart about it when we go in here. Let's get these positions. Like, I was raised red. My dad was conservative. Now, I voted blue. I voted blue a lot. I'm black. You know what I'm saying? I went to two HBCUs. So, of course, I voted blue because they were speaking to the emotions of me and being connected, I'm using the dreaded air quotes here, with my folk, right? But understanding that, hey, this red is for business. I've been in business for a long time. So I can mix the two. I can vote for the person who's going to vote, who's going to move as I need them to move as far as my business is concerned. And then I'm also going to vote for this person over here who's talking, you know, the right things. And they're talking a little business, but they're talking things that are going to emotionally set my people. Because I do think about the people who are downtrodden and who are, you know, hurt and quote unquote left behind. But then as I start seeing how they move, like, as a whole, especially, it was one point where they would negotiate and they would get things done. Now it's like straight down the line. I'm not voting those red people no matter what. Trump is just horrible and they're maggots. And wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why? Why are we resorting to the maggots and all of this stuff? Just because we feel as though, hey, we don't want pornographic books in our schools. Hey, I want to use my tax money that I put for my kids' schooling to good use in the school that I choose for them to go to. That's just what I want to do. That is proper investment. I want to be able to have my guns and protect my family. That's what I want to do. Why am I getting pushback from this? Why do you feel as though this is wrong? Because you feel as though that is wrong, I'm going to look at you sideways. So as we go over into this red area, we need to start holding these positions, whether we want to run for office, or just a small level. You know, I'm a precinct chair in the red, and I'm the third vice chairman of a red party in Georgia, in South Georgia. And I have no issues. And I'm the same black man that I am on my show, in the club, in the hood, when I'm with my fam. Like, I'm the same guy, no different. I speak elegantly. Every now and then they have to get cursed out, you know, because, you know, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. But we all are on, for the most part, the same mission. Are there things that we separate on? Hell yeah. I'm not Israel no matter what. No, I think that's stupid. I'm not a lot of things no matter what. I agree with Trump. 95.
Uh-oh, did we lose protocol? Can y'all hear him?
No, I think we lost. He might have went in the matrix or something.
Well, we're almost at the top of the hour. Protocol, you want to wrap us up? Because you were saying something and you went out. Can you hear us? Uh-oh, I'm not sure if he can. We can't hear you, brother. You might have to drop down and come back up. We can't hear you.
But this has been a quite an entertaining space tonight. And I didn't, you know, sometimes politics is so, you know, heavy. But tonight, thank you, Unc, and thank you, Protocol. Again, I think y'all the same. So I hope y'all follow each other because y'all are the same people. But tonight we really had a chance to, you know, hear it the way we see it. So thank you, Unc. Thank you, Protocol. Thank you, Leroy, for joining me. Let me see. I think he back. Let's let him. Can you hear us, Protocol? Can you hear us, Protocol?
And working from my desk, but it happens from time to time. Anyway, as I was saying, though, you know, we just got to get in where we fit in on these parties on the ground level and then actually move things for what it is we want to see. I got educated when I got up in this Republican Party, things that the Democrats don't even teach their people, the Republicans are teaching. So that's how I'm able to understand that this whole fake electors crap that Fannie Willis is pushing. But if you actually know party system, the bitch line. I'm sorry if anybody's offended by me calling her that, but she's just pushing a rule for them people. But if you know, and Tamara, you know the party structure. You've ran for office multiple times. You know, like I know, this ain't no fake electors. This is these people had their electors just in case, you know what I'm saying, the truth did came out about the swinging of the votes and their people was in place. They would have never had the stuff notarized. They would have never went through the process if they wasn't going through the process. So, but you learn that when you get inside. And that's why I'm just, you know, advising and pushing all my people. Jump in, man. Go learn. You can go to a precinct meeting. You can go to a county meeting and actually find out what's truly going on in the system and then be prepared. All of us talking about creating our own party system and wanting to put our own people in the ballot. You need to know this, how this stuff is structured so you can handle it when you get in there. So go get some education. You ain't got to stay there forever. We can create a Black conservative party and put our own people up on the ballot, get in office, and then negotiate when we get in office what we need. But we got to have our representation, whether it's in the red party or the new party or whatever the case may be. We know, as Unc said earlier, we ain't getting it in the blue party because all them folk, they got all them positions took up, and they gonna do whatever the hell they gotta do to keep any of our Black asses from getting in those positions. So y'all have a good night, absolutely, man. Hit me with the follow. I communicate, you know what I'm saying? I don't mind. I don't mind building. I don't mind sharing information and getting you in the places to be, man. I love y'all, and y'all stay blessed up this week.
Unc, you want to give us some parting words? Look, you done set the room off, the space off. Can you hear us, Unc?
Yeah, I hear you say what?
I said, you want to give us some parting words? You done set this face off.
Yeah, man. Restructure, right? Like to me, you know, I even look at our communities, right? And they've been compromised. The value is gone. You can't do what Pro said, right? Yeah, you got to put yourself in a position that if shit hit the fan, like, I'd rather have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. That's how I look at life, right? So you have to do the things that we want to. You got to go rural areas, right? You got to be able to have your farm if you want to, with your chickens, and the city and its ordinance can't stop you, because whatever we try to do, as long as we're under their rulership, they'll shut it down. Even though it wasn't a problem before, just because we're trying to do it and they know what we're trying to do, they'll figure out how to shut it down. So you find and create your own homesteads with your own people, because I believe our people are ready to really go into some fertile ground, right? Somewhere where we can protect our women and our children and train up our children in the way that they should go. If you're not talking about complete ownership, then you're not really understanding what it means to be independent, right? And if we say we're independent, we got to move like that, right? We use the system for what we need to get it for, but at the same time, we have to put ourselves in a place where we own it, control it. We say what's good, what's not, and that's where I'm going with it, right? I'm looking for land to do homesteads. I got some concepts and shit. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I don't even think – I used to want to, like, say the community. Now I just want to educate the community and let them know what the fuck is going on. Meanwhile, I'm not even trying to – do that. I'm looking for some fertile land that if you bill it, they would come type of shit, right? That's what I'm at. But thank you, Tamara, for allowing me to speak. You know, I appreciate you. I appreciate you warriors in the room. Y'all continue to put the fight in, right? And educate the people, man. Those who will make it will, and those who won't, well, you know how the story go.
All right. Well, this space has been absolutely amazing. Y'all join me Mondays, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the X app. And I love you all. This was great tonight. So y'all have a good night, and I'll see you back here on Monday.
Peace.
Now, the title of this book will grab you. It is Faith, Purpose, and Politics, Running the Race of My Life. Immediately, I was captivated. Tell me about how you chose your title.
Oh, you know, I don't think I chose this title. It just came to me, and because I know I was in the race of my life.
When we come to Washington in this campaign, we're coming to get our check. Young prodigies. Grow.
Free. Reparations, Martin said we coming for our check. Reparations, say it loud. 1-2 mic check. Cream. Cash rules everything around me. Dream. My legacy, you can't stop me. Coming for our 40 acres. HR 40 in our paper.
Kicking the door. Coming for our 40 acres and more. Our 6.4. No, we fought the Civil War.
We came from the poor.
Free, man.
Start from the bottom, we still on the floor. We pray to the Lord.
Amen.
Picking the cotton, our fingers are sore.
Straight out the underground, escaping from slavery. The only cemeteries that we had were the trees. Watching our bodies while they glow in the breeze. Seeking to the north side to get free.
That way, came from slavery.
Where's all the men want to sit on me?
Put her head on the door, put the world on steam.
Seek to the north side to get free.
Reparations, Martin said we coming for our check. Reparations, say it loud. 1-2 mic check.
Cream.
Cash rules everything around me.
Dream.
My legacy, you can't stop me.
Coming for our 40 acres. HR 40 in our
look,
paper.
Look, we taking them back. Putting Pettus Bridge on a map. Police came with the strap. That Sunday was bloody, no cap.
Stop capping.
Speaking of cap.
Kaepernick taking knees at the flag. Where my justice at? We built this nation, better give me them racks.
All facts.
Just imagine a little bit of gasoline. Four girls got burned back in 63.
400 years, yeah, we still ain't free. I rise, we rise. Take a knee.
Kaepernick.
Reparations, Martin said we coming for our check. Reparations, say it loud. 1-2 mic check.
Cream.
Cash rules everything around me.
Dream.
My legacy, you can't stop me.
Coming for our 40 acres. HR 40 and our paper.
We stuck in the trap. With no shoes, trying to pull up bootstraps. Increasing the gap. Wealth got bigger, so we had to adapt. Discriminated because we black. I know it worth more than I know it's a fact. They trying to feel scraps. Drag me on board so we can't come back.
30 years ago, on April 19, Yusef and Trent Remy came to court.
If it happened to